Let's pray.
Father, we commit our time to you, even as we have come to you to bless you, to love you. We thank you for this privilege, this freedom we can gather in your house. We exalt you, Jesus, as our Lord and Master. We ask that you will amplify your word, even by the power of the Holy Spirit. Would you speak to us personally as we commit our time to you in Jesus' name? Amen, amen. This morning, I'm going to talk to us about this whole topic about facing giants. When you are facing giants. I love this picture. We all have giants. What are giants? Giants are big, big problems. From time to time, thank God it's from time to time, we all face giants. They refer to problems, obstacles, mountains in our life. And this is our roadmap. We're going to talk about giants. We're going to talk about God is real, giants are real, and how we find principles as we glean from a very familiar story, David and Goliath, and then the Israelites going into the promised land to draw those principles to help us in this journey. All right, giants are real. For some of us, giants is a financial problem. For some of us, we have been scammed during the COVID years. For some of us, it is a health scare, or a diagnosis by a doctor. For some of us, it is a relational conflict, a problem at work. Israel was asked to go to the promised land. And God told them ahead in Deuteronomy 9, when Moses recounted this, that you're going to go to nations that are greater and mightier than yourself. Cities that are great and fortified up to heaven. A people great and tall, the descendants of the Anakim. And we know the background of this are the Nephilim in Genesis 6, where the demonic spirits interacted with the human body of the man and the woman. They produced giants. There was a king in the Old Testament called the King of Bashan. And it's described that he's almost 13 feet tall. And God gave the command to the Israelites to destroy them, destroy them. And when it comes to the time of David and Goliath, Goliath was about 9 feet tall. And it was David and his mighty men that wiped out the remainder of the giants. So giants are real. And we follow this typology of how we can conquer giants from the principles from Scripture. Following God does not mean our problems do not exist. It means we recognize that they are real. We take the bull by the horn, so to speak. So in 1 Samuel 17, we find this battle, all right, where the Philistines gathered on one side of the mountain, the Israelites gathered on the other side, and there was a valley in between. And from the Philistine camp appeared a man called Goliath. And every day, he taunted and mocked Israel. In verse 10 of 1 Samuel 17, he said, "I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together." So for 40 days, the entire Israel army was listening to Goliath's voice. Goliath did not attack. He did not even throw a spear. Every day, he intimidated Israel. And similarly for us, what does the devil do? He's a liar. He's a deceiver. Every day, every moment, when you allow him, he will amplify your giant. He will amplify the problem you're facing. Oh, that lump that the doctor diagnoses is cancer. You're going to die. The scam of the money that you have lost, all right, you're going to be derailed and you're going to go down, 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 down. The problem you face at work, that difficult client, that difficult customer you're dealing with, he's going to give you a hard time. You may lose your job. You may lose a fortune. The conflict that you can't resolve, he will taunt you, he will magnify his own strength. And even before he threw a spear, Goliath already won by sowing fear. You see, in our lives, there are two sides of the scale. One side is our faith in God. We are to grow that faith in God. And if our faith don't grow in God, fear will grow in our life. Fear is the opposite of faith. It will be magnified and so forth. So in 1 Samuel 17, Saul and all Israel, they heard the words of Goliath and they were dismayed. Verse 11, they were greatly afraid. There was a similar incident of the 12 spies. All their names were listed in Numbers chapter 13. 10 of them had fear and unbelief, and they said they saw the giants in Numbers 13:33, the descendants of the Anakites, and we were like grasshoppers. They felt so small. We were like grasshoppers, and then their imagination went wild. They say, and so we were in the eyes and the minds of the Anakites. They projected that they were looked small and they're going to be eaten up by the giants. So did David. So Israel was intimidated by Goliath until a shepherd boy stepped onto the scene. David at this stage was not trained for war. He was not even invited into the battle. He was not even respected by his brothers, but he carried a greater weapon. He carried faith in the living God. And we're going to draw principles from them. All right. So what were the keys to David's victory? I want to share four P's. The first one is perspective. Can we all say perspective? Perspective means we adopt a God-centered perspective. Everyone else saw a giant. They saw his height, his armor, his experience. David heard the same threats, but his reaction was different. His response was different. Others saw size and might. David saw out of the words of Goliath an offense against his God. What did he hear? He says, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? But Goliath said, I defy the armies of the living God. I defy the armies of Israel. Now, what was in David's mind? His mind went back to the Word. And this is where we need to know the Word. His mind went back to Genesis 17, when God called Abraham. Long story short, God cut a covenant with Abraham. And the evidence of that covenant with God, every male in the household, and inclusive of those who are non-Jews, must be circumcised. They are a covenant people. Today, we are believers in Jesus. We are cut with the circumcision not made with hands, Colossians 2. We were all adopted into the family of God. We are sons and daughters of the Most High God. If we understand every word we sang during worship, our faith must arise. And here David sees Goliath mocking a covenant people. Here is Goliath defying the entire army of Israel. So we need to interpret our situation, that medical diagnosis, that financial problem, that relational conflict. Potentially, you are facing a storm. We need to interpret all this because we live in a fallen world, but we believe in the God that is greater than this fallen world. Do not magnify the giant. Similar incident, Numbers 13, 14 again. So Joshua and Caleb was different from the 10. Here is Joshua and Caleb says, God delights in us. He will bring us into the land and give it to us. Don't rebel against the Lord. Don't fear the people of the land. And how did Joshua and Caleb interpret it? They are our bread. Their protection is gone and has departed from them. The Lord is with us. Do not fear the Anakites. This is our posture. Now, this doesn't come automatically to all of us. Adopting a God-centered perspective has to be developed. This is our biblical worldview. This is what we call our belief system. In all our belief system, we have to grow our faith. Faith comes from hearing and hearing the Word of God. But in our belief system, there is a part called doubts. We have to deal with the doubts. By all means, deal with the doubts. Don't sweep it under the carpet. Don't pretend they are not real. In our belief system, not only are there doubts, there are questions. Ask the questions. Ask the questions from your group leader, from your pastors, from your deacons. Ask the questions. There's no tough question that cannot be answered. That's why we have an evangelistic program called Alpha. Get them to ask any tough question they want to ask, because we serve a God that is greater. All the answers are in Scripture. So Joshua and Caleb says, don't fear them. Focus on God. Focus on His Word. Focus on His promises and His power. Church, don't be biblically illiterate. Don't be a people who worships God and we sing songs and we feel high and so forth, but we are ignorant of the Word of God. You are poorer and weaker to the degree we do not know God. God has given us the means to know Him, which is through His Word. And we sang about the song to magnify the Lord, to exalt the Lord. You know, in Psalms 138, verse 2, He says, God exalt His Word above His name. God stick His very name above every word, every promise that is given to us. There's a similar incident in 2 Kings chapter 6. There was a battle between the king of Syria and the king of Israel. Long story short, there is a godly man called Elisha. God downloaded to him words of knowledge. Where is the king of Syria putting his army? Where are they trying to ambush? And then he informed the king of Israel, who reorganized and have a strategy, and every time they win. The king of Syria was furious, falling his generals. Who is our traitor? They found out, sir, we have no traitor, but there's this man called Elisha. The king of Syria says, chop off his head, get hold of his head. The next morning, they mounted all their chariots and surrounded on the hilltop in the valley where Elisha lived. Early in the morning, Elisha's servant got up and he saw the chariots of iron from the king of Syria. He panicked. He quickly went to Elisha. Sir, we are surrounded. Our heads is going to be gone. But Elisha, a man of God, full of faith in God, he says, Lord, open his eyes. Open the eyes of the servant that he may see. And what did the servant see? The last line on the slide, the servant then saw hills full of horses and chariots of fire. The angels of the Lord surround all who fears the Lord. Who are those who fears the Lord? Those who fear and stand upon the word of God. We've got angels. They are more with us than they are with the evil one. This is our position. This is our privileged position. The Bible says the fear of man brings a snare. The fear of man is a trap. As people of God, learn to develop the fear of the Lord. You see, our relationship with God is a spectrum. On the one end, we can go very close with God. We can buddy-buddy with God, very intimate with God. But on the other end of the spectrum, we have to have the fear of the Lord that will keep us holy and put us in check and have that sense of accountability and awe in worship. So we navigate this spectrum. When we have the fear of the Lord, we fear no man. When we have the fear of the Lord, we fear no demons. Whoever trusts in the Lord shall be saved. The word sozo, which means salvation, deliverance, protection, healing. So what do we do? Some practical handles. Number one, there are giants, there are problems, there are obstacles in our life. Take captive that giant. Take captive that thought. Don't let it eat into you. Take captive that worry, that anxiety, that stress. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, take captive means bring it in subjection to the obedience of Christ. When fear arises, a second handle is pluck ourselves into the Father's love. 1 John 4:18, perfect love casts out fear. Perfect love means it's like we're trying to plug in, all right, to get this spotlight or whatever. If the plug is not properly plugged in, all right, the electricity won't flow through. Similarly, if we're not plugged into the Father's love, the love of the Father cannot come to us. How does the love of the Father come to us? Through the Holy Spirit, Romans 5:5. The Holy Spirit takes the love of the Father and deposits it into our spirit man, shed abroad in our hearts, permeating into our thinking, our feeling, our decision making. That's why it's so important to connect to the Holy Spirit. So a God-centered perspective means that we reframe the battle. We look at our problems, our situation through the lens of Scripture. David doesn't deny Goliath's size. You know that Goliath is big. You know that Goliath is a good fighter. You know that Goliath is strong, but he denied Goliath his authority over him. And what do? We declare what Scriptures declare. If God is for us, who can be against us? Not this sickness. Not this financial problem, not this colleague or this customer, not this neighbor, not this diagnosis. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Early in the morning, the audiovisual team came into this hall. It was dark. What did they do? They turned on the light. What is darkness? Darkness is simply the absence of light. The devil wants to drag us further into darkness, doubts, disappointments, discouragement, disheartenment, until we lose hope, despondency. And for some people, it's worse. He will drag them down into depression. Depression is when it becomes clinical. You need medication. It becomes a brain matter. Therefore, what do we do when we are in darkness? Any form of discouragement, despondency, disheartenment, turn on the light. Switch on the light. What light? The Word of God. Psalms 119:105, your Word of God is a lamp to our feet. What are the next few steps to take? The Word of God is a light to our path. What is the direction to go? What else is light? Jesus is light. John 8:12, Jesus says, if anyone follows me, present tense, follows me. If you are lukewarm and you are disconnected from God, you are not following Him. Reconnect back to God again. Very simply, 1 John 1:9. Reconnect back with God again. He says, if anyone follows me, he shall, and that is his promise, never walk in darkness. John 8:12. The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? So see our giant in God's light. Make a course correction. Make a course correction. All right? That means if we're going in the wrong direction, change our direction. Realign our focus from the giants in our lives to God. And that's how we do. Now, the Bible records two incidences. See, we are all spirit beings. And that's when we can connect with God who is spirit. We worship God in spirit. And because we are spirit beings, we are aware of the spirit world of angels and the spirit world of demons. But don't spiritualize everything. We are also physical beings. We live in the physical world. We live with people and situations and circumstances. So we navigate this spectrum, spiritual, physical, relational, circumstantial. So what happened to King Asa? It was recorded in 2 Chronicles 16:12. He did not seek the Lord. He only sought the help of all the medical specialists. What is the principle here? Everything that we do it relationally. When we are not well, we seek all the medical attention we can have, get a second, third opinion, eat well, sleep well, good nutrition, good peace, and so forth. But at the same time, soak everything in prayer. Commit all things. Trust in the Lord with all our hearts. What is the evidence of our trusting the Lord? Acknowledge Him in all our ways. 100% trust, 100% acknowledgement. That's what it means to pray without ceasing. It doesn't mean we sit down there and pray every second of the way. No, it means a posture like your handphone. It is on. It's silent mode now. But you're connected to your telco and your battery. If there's no battery, no use. Your telephone also no use. All right? So your battery, the battery is on. You're connected to your telco. Anytime you can receive a text message, an Instagram, a TikTok, of social media, somebody calling you. You are connected. So that's what it means to pray without ceasing. Do not be like the leaders of Israel. They made a covenant with the Gibeonites who pretended that they came from a faraway place. And the Bible recorded in Joshua 9:14, they did not ask counsel of the Lord. See, God must always be a major factor in the equation of our lives. Repeat, God must be a major factor in every decision, in every response, in all our coming in and going up, rising, lying down. We must be like David. David, the Bible says he said the Lord always. Always means most of the time. And tell God, Lord, you know, sometimes I am busy, I'm distracted, I'm mong cha cha, all right? Holy Spirit, remind me, prompt me, capture my attention, Holy Spirit. All right? It's just like during worship just now. Some of us, we came in, we immediately connected with God. But some of us, we take a while to warm up. Maybe you connected with God by the third song. Doesn't matter. Important thing, connect with God. But along the way, you were distracted. You could not find a car park lot. Why the first people end so late today? All right, my fault. Okay, my fault. All right, and so on and so forth. Okay, connect with God. And then as you connect with God, as you worship God, as you sing with Him, momentarily you are distracted because a sex scene floats into your head from a movie you watched last night. The devil will remind you. So what do you do with the sex scene in your head? Take the blood of Jesus, 1 John 1:9, for forgiveness, cleansing, covering. Then reconnect back with God again. Or when you're worshiping God and then you're disconnected, you remember this coming week you got a presentation to do. You got a very important client. Or this coming week, you have to see the doctor again. Or this coming week, your 19-year-old daughter, she's going to travel overseas for the first time and she is going to leave the house and mixing around with Delilah and Dennis, not so good company, and you're worried. Soak the matter in prayer. Be like David, set the Lord always before you. God is at your right hand. You won't be easily shaken. You are the head and not the tail. A God-centered perspective. Secondly, is practice. Practice the presence of God. Practice a proven private faith, all right? So David said to Saul, sir, I used to keep my father's sheep. When a lion and a bear came, I went after the lion and bear, I struck it and delivered the lamb. It's all in the details. Now, just imagine, I was thinking through, all right, years ago, there's no way David could handle a lion and a bear immediately with his bare hand. He'll be mauled and eaten up by the lion and the bear. What did David do? He says, I went after it, I struck it. What did David strike the lion and bear with? His stone and his sling. That is his weapon. What is your weapon? What is your little faith? How do you express your trust in God? How did that come? Practice. It's called his skillfulness of his hands, which was developed. The first 1,000, he put the stone in his sling. He aimed for the apple 70 meters from where he is on the tree. The apple was by the twig connected to a branch. He aimed 1,000 times, missed. The second 1,000 time hit the trunk of the tree. The 5,000 time just hit the branch. The 7,000 time, he just hit the edge of the apple. By the 10,000th time, he aimed right at the core of the apple. He tried the 11,000th time. Every time aimed for the core of the apple, he hit at the center of the core of the apple. Practice. By the time Goliath appeared, he was aiming. The Bible records is all in the details. He was aiming for the forehead of Goliath. It was a target too big to miss. Goliath's forehead is much bigger than the apple. And the Bible says he hit the very forehead, the stone sang, because by that time he has developed that strength. The velocity of that stone flying through the air and aiming for the forehead of Goliath. Goliath, boom! He took Goliath's sword and chopped off his head. Practice. Any profession, whether it's a doctor, an engineer, a mother cooking a meal for the kitchen, where do you go for a meal? Practice. Because most of our lives are routine. The principle here is faithful in little, faithful in much. So in our relationship with God, keep on experiencing God. Don't belittle that answered prayer. By chance, you ask for a car park, you got a car park. Don't belittle that. God comes in little moments, faithful in little, faithful in much. Oh, you have got a sprain and then you pray for healing. Or you got a full-blown flu. Normally, a full-blown flu takes you a month, 6 weeks to recover. You say, Lord, you have to shorten that. I had a fall recently. 2 months ago, we went on a holiday somewhere overseas. And then we hired a van, the whole group of us. So I came down from the van backwards, all right, to hold the handle and step. And most of the time, okay, until one moment we were at this country area, there was a boulder behind me. I slipped over the boulder. And in the process, I tried to hold my head to prevent myself from hitting the ground. And in the process, I sprained my neck. That was immediately after lunch, about 2:30, all right? I says, Lord, you got to heal me. Now, does God know my need? I need to be healed? Yes. Does God automatically heal me? No. What does God respond to? God responds to faith. Remember, I started by saying the two sides of the scale, one is faith, one is fear. God responds to faith. We walk by faith, not by sight. I says, Lord, I come to you by faith. I declare by the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. I receive your word. Proverbs 8:22, that your word will be, that is living and active, will touch every part of my neck, my vein, my muscle, my tendon, my whatever. Lord, I need to, and I pick a request. I say, Lord, by dinner time, will you heal me? And true enough, by dinner time, it was 90% okay. I went to bed. I said, Lord, by tonight, would you heal me completely? He said, tomorrow morning and up and about. The next morning, I was up and about. I was not even aware. Then I remembered and I gave thanks. Faith speaks. So all these moments, all our past victories is a significant milestone. layer upon layer, experiencing God coming through for you again and again and again. I was sharing many times, in the past, I used to go to gym. Now you don't go to gym already, too old already, right? So every time I say, Lord, by the time I go to gym, peak hour, whether it's lunchtime or after work, all right, all the treadmills will be taken and so forth. I say, Lord, I need a treadmill, okay? And by the time I go in, we got my shorts actually, going, somebody just stepped off the treadmill. One time, 10 times, 20 times, chance. But 50th time, 100th time, no longer chance. The Lord surrounds me with favor as with a shield. Psalms 5:12. So you need to know the word. And when you respond to God by faith, what does it mean to respond to God by faith? It means you stand upon His word. His word is personalized. His word is real. And that's how we go. So Saul tried to clothe David with his armor. No use. Don't try to imitate somebody else's faith. God has got no grandchildren. Every one of us is a precious son and daughter of God. He knows you by your name. Develop your own personal relationship with God. Same example in Joseph. His faith and character were first tested in the pit when his brother sold him to the Ishmaelites. Then he ended up in Potiphar's house. He kept his integrity, almost seduced day by day by Potiphar's wife, ended up in prison. Now, he went to a special prison where the baker of the Pharaoh, the butler of the Pharaoh was there. Long story short, he interpreted their dreams. What do you think happened in the conversation in the prison? Every day they'd be talking about politics. Joseph will be asking them, what does it mean to serve as a butler, the Pharaoh, the governmental affairs? Who are the other ministers who came in? What are his riches and his treasures? How is the army? And all the geopolitical, economic scenario in the Pharaoh's court. All right, he interpreted the dream. The baker died, was hung. The butler was restored. One day, nothing happened by chance. Pharaoh had a dream, two dreams. 7 years of famine and so forth. And then the butler remembered, hey, sir, there is this guy, this Hebrew guy. He recalled, at the right time, Joseph was summoned to Pharaoh's court. Private faithfulness precedes his public victory. You know the rest of the story. He became prime minister and so forth. So faith is a muscle exercised mostly in the routine of our lives. Most of our lives are routine, 90-95%. We don't every day to be catastrophe and sudden. No, no. Momentarily, when we have bad news, mountain obstacle, all right, we gabra, we panic. Understand. But most of our lives are routine. Therefore, develop that relationship with God. Build our faith, all right? The next principle is people. Surrounding ourselves with the right people. Some people do not matter. Like David's brothers. His brother was angry. Why are you appearing on the battle scene? All right, have you here to watch the battle? Get away from toxic people. Toxic people are people who subtract your life, who divide up your life. What happens if they are in your biological family? Then you learn to be an overcomer. In a biological family, you got no choice. You live with them in the same household. Every day, put on the armor of God. Every day, ask for the hedge of protection so that their toxic words or behavior doesn't get into your thinking, doesn't get into your feeling to evoke a negative response, doesn't get under your skin, so to speak. You put on the armor of God. Secondly, you nullify every toxic word and phrases in Jesus' name. Thirdly, you bless them like an enemy. Matthew 5. Why you bless them as an enemy? Because when you bless them, you're fighting with weapons that the devil, as birds flying above the head, doesn't know how to operate. The devil doesn't know how to steal, kill, and destroy. The devil is a liar and deceiver. So when you pray for them and bless them by name and ask for the hand of God upon them, God fights for you. When you try to fight in your own way, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, take revenge, you're fighting the world's way, the devil's way. God cannot help you. Learn to fight with spiritual weapons. 2 Corinthians 10, we have weapons that are powerful. The name of Jesus, the sword of the Spirit, the word of God, the blood of Jesus. Some people do not matter, like David's father. David's father did not even include him in the lineup for the next king of Israel. What father does that? He was told by Samuel, line up all your sons. And then he says in verse 11, Samuel asked him, are these all your sons you have? Then the father said, oh yeah, I still got one young, the youngest one. He's out in the boondocks looking after the sheep. such people do not matter in the sense, do not matter in the sense in your relationship with God and God's purpose for you to fulfill His destiny. Some people matter, like Jonathan. Jonathan was a very close friend to David. They talk heart to heart. And we need to find the right people. In David's life, there were two very good friends. A guy called Ahithophel and a guy called Hushai. They were his buddies and they were his counselors. He was iron sharpened iron. He would bring his situation before them. They would give him counsel. In fact, the Bible recorded that the counsel of Ahithophel was as if he spoke the oracles of God. But one day, Ahithophel got offended. He was very angry with David. He sided with Absalom in Absalom's rebellion against David. Why? You have to look into the fine details. Because Ahithophel was the grandfather of Bathsheba. The scriptures are there on the slide. And because he was the grandfather of Bathsheba, and David orchestrated the death of her husband, all right, he was offended and angry with David. And therefore, when Absalom rebelled against David, he's going to rebel against David, no matter how close a friend it is. But not Hushai. When David left Jerusalem, Hushai followed along, and David told Hushai, no, you are of little use to me in the wilderness, all right? You are a man of God. Go back to Jerusalem and give me news of what is happening. Give me the intelligence. And that's what Hushai did. He remained faithful to David. Develop that close group of friends. It has to be intentional. It has to be deliberate. Relationship takes time to build. When you feel like contacting someone, contact. Meet someone over breakfast, lunch, dinner, meet. All right? You see them once a year. You see them twice a year. Meet. Connect. Find a group of friends. I remember during COVID, all right, we specifically prayed, Lord, I said, send groups of people for us. All right? Friends. After church, I got two gangs to go out lunch with. All right? And during COVID, to walk, I got 3-4 walking groups. Ask God to send people into your lives. And then, of course, relationship takes two hands to clap. You find those that has chemistry with you. Like to eat, go to the same restaurants as you, all right? And not otherwise. In a multitude of counselors, there is safety. The third P is, the fourth P is proclaim. When I use this word proclaim, I'm talking about every verbal activity from our mouths. You see, we are spirit beings, as I've said, that is in a soul, in a body, that rest in the body. And how do we connect with the physical world? How do we connect in the relational world, in the circumstance and situation? Through our mouth. Death and life is in the power of the tongue. So we need to declare our faith ahead of action. David spoke to Saul, your servant, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. David spoke to Saul. David spoke to Goliath even before he fought, even before he slung the stone into Goliath's head. He says to Goliath, you come to me with sword, spear, and javelin. I come to you in the name of Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you defy, you uncircumcised Philistine. You dare defy the God of the armies of Israel. Today, the Lord will deliver you into my hand. I will strike you and take your head from you. He was declaring even before he slung the first stone. All the earth may know that there is a God, and this whole assembly will know that the battle belongs to the Lord. Similar example in Jehoshaphat's situation, he was surrounded by the vast enemies. God sent a prophet, Jahaziel, who told, the Lord says to you, Jehoshaphat, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid about the medical diagnosis. Don't be afraid about this potential problem in the office. Don't be afraid about this customer or this colleague or this neighbor. Don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed, for the battle is not yours, but God's. The battle belongs to the Lord. That's what it means. Similar example in Joshua, they conquered Jericho because they shouted. They were told, first day, keep your mouth shut. That's walk one round. Second day, one round. Keep your mouth shut. Specifically mentioned in Joshua. But on the seventh day, seven rounds. And at the end of the seven rounds, shout with all your might. Blow the shofar with all your might. What do you think happened? The shofar were all sound syllables in the natural. But because they did it in obedience and connected to the God, the creator of all things, it became supernatural. The supernatural created sound waves that tore the walls of Jericho down one direction, inwards. It's called supernatural. See, we always navigate the spiritual dynamics with the physical, natural dynamics. We are such a privileged creation. God made us in His image. We are spirit, soul, and body. The angels and the demons, they envy us. They are spirit beings. They don't have a physical body. We do. That's why we have to have wisdom to navigate accordingly. And what is the principle? 2 Corinthians 4:13. All right, if I can get you to read on the count of three. 1, 2, go. So the principle of faith says that we believe, we speak. I believe is personal. I'm a child of God. I'm a servant of the Most High God. I am a vessel of honor, 2 Timothy 2. I'm God's messenger for the services this weekend here. And because I'm God's messenger, He will deliver your word. I shared earlier on, for the last 48 hours, there were two giants I needed to conquer. They pop out of nowhere, all right, in the last 48 hours. And I realized this message is for a lot of you. Yesterday, the whole altar was packed at the Saturday service. So similarly, the first service, I believe this service as well. This is the word of the Lord for you at this right time. I believe I spoke. I said, Lord, just sanctify me by the blood, by your word and your spirit. You are there. Uphold me and carry me through. Because after this, I'm going to another church this afternoon to do a 2-hour teaching. All right. I said, you're going to carry me through. I believe I speak. We, husband and wives. So I build your personal altar. We, if you are married, build your marriage altar. Yeah, attend the marriage or whatever, all right? If you are single, with another, your sister with another sister, a brother with another brother, as a cell group, what do we believe? God responds to faith. And when we say proclaim, it means everything that we do, giving thanks, giving praise, giving worship, declare what the Bible declares, say what Scripture says, and that you'll be so. Giants must be faced. In the Scriptures, we look at up to now, David and Goliath and the 12 spies, the enemy, the giants, were mocking their destiny in God as the people of God. But as we look at the broader scope of Scriptures, giants are all that comes from the fallenness of men. Financial problems, scam. I don't know about you, or not all people, and during the altar calls, there were a couple of people who were scammed. Betrayal, relational conflicts. Jesus said in Matthew 7, we live in a fallen world. In the world, you will have trouble. Why? Because of the fallenness of men. Sickness comes from the fallenness of men. Relational conflicts come from the fallenness of men. Nations against nations. The war in Ukraine and Iran, and this is going to lead to a lot more. All right. The AI and knowledge, all these are in Scriptures. We are living in very exciting times. So when we face all this, what do we need to do? Keep on calling on God. Every day, we need the mercy of God. Hebrews 4:16, we go to the throne of grace to obtain mercy. What is mercy? Mercy is not reaping the full consequences of our wrong choices. We need mercy. But we do not know what we do not know. I was telling some of the people, in your situation, there's probably 10 variables at work. You are very clever. You were telling me a lot of things, very smart. You probably can figure out 6, maybe 7 out of the 10. There are 3 variables that you're not even aware of. But God knows. And God holds the trump card. He holds the poker. He holds the ace. Therefore, we must delight to do His will. Because God's will takes into account every factor, every variable. God's will is always for the best of our interest. And sometimes we are stubborn, we are blindsided, we nye-nye, so to speak, the idols of our heart, chong, all right, a particular way. And therefore, you have to trust God's wisdom. God's ways are not our ways. We have to accept His leading. Even sometimes in ways that we don't expect. So I was telling somebody, you've lost your money to this particular brother. He said the brother even prayed with him. All right. He may not come back through this brother. But God is able to compensate you, help you in another way. I say, see your cup half full. Don't see it half empty. Because if you keep on seeing it half empty, how much you have lost every day is eating into you. Every day is affecting your thinking, your feeling, your life. You don't live your life. You're paralyzed. But if you see your cup half full, that God has provided more than enough for whatever remains that you can live for the rest of your life, live. Live. That's what it's all about. Rest in His sovereignty, that the battle belongs to Him. Perspective, practice, people, proclaim. I'll end off with this story. This is a guy I met 2 years ago in Tung Ling. He was an ex-drug addict in and out of jail for 11 years. All right. Sometime during prison, he found a Bible and he read it. Long story short, he came to know the Lord. Paikia. All right, this is a real paikia. So I would meet up with him every 6 to 8 weeks, all right? And one day, I said, go Geylang, eat durians. And go durian, every corner he knows somebody. I said, no, cannot go Geylang anymore. All right? I said, let's go Choa Chu Kang, okay? Or something like that. And long story short, he came out of jail, all right? In and out, showed, and he got into a fight again. Broke his hand. He showed me his hand, all right? And he did not know what else to do, all right? I said, you got to start at the bottom and trust in the Lord. Faithful in little, faithful in much. And so he found work in a shipyard, very dirty, greasy, all and so forth. And from there, again, long story short, now he runs his own ship welding business. He has almost 100 over workers under him. Multi-million dollar business. Married, I don't know how he found his wife. That's another story. 4 children. Today, he's a leader, a board member of his mega church. He's an evangelist. Every year, about 3 to 4 times, you go to a remote part of Indonesia, some of the islands, all right, because of the Tung Ling relationship, and he will be preaching the gospel. Every 3 weeks or 2 weeks, he will send me a text. Hey, brother, come, he said, come here too, all right. He was led to talk to this brother, this Akau, and or this Abeng, or whatever, and he led them to the Lord. A life completely changed. He had his mountains, his body is full of tattoo, all right, and there you see him preaching, teaching, sharing the word. All right, he's coming to 50 years old, but he was a rascal from the time he was a teen. Drugs, in and out of prison and so forth. So what giants are you facing? The same God who parted the Red Sea dropped Jericho's walls. God is not asking you and me to be strong enough. Because many of us, we feel very weak already. Our giants, our problems, our mountains have sucked away a lot of energy from us. But God is asking us to trust enough. Not to fight harder, but to trust deeper. Not set our eyes on the storm, but on the Savior. To lift our eyes not to the giant, to lift our eyes beyond the giant, to the God who reigns above the giants. And to trust God to walk with us, because He knows and He stands beside us, and we need to proclaim Him always. Today, we have a greater David. We talk about David and Goliath. The greater David is the Lord Jesus. And the Bible says He gives us the victory always. God gives us the victory always in Christ Jesus. And that's how the battle is the Lord. If you cling on tightly to the battle, if you cling on tightly to your giant, God cannot move. But if you surrender your giant to God and invite God into your situation, then God can move on your behalf. Amen. Let's stand as we close in prayer. We thank You, Father, again for Your word, for the reminder that the battle belongs to You. We thank You, Lord, for the reminder that if You are for us, who can be against us? We thank You, Lord, that You are our light and our salvation. Whom shall we fear? If every head bowed, every eye closed, some of you are facing right now a particular giant. God wants you to name that giant. God wants you to hand that giant to God. For some of you, it's a medical problem. For some of you, it's a financial situation. For some of you, it's got something to do with your work. For some of you, a very toxic relationship. God perfectly knows your situation. God perfectly knows what you're going through in this storm, this wind of life that is blowing hard upon you. And for some of you, you feel like drowning because everything that can go wrong is going wrong. Standing there and right now in the presence of God, if this is you and you want God to come into your situation, you want God to help you, wherever you are, would you raise your hand to God, says, God, help me. God help me, I'm facing this particular giant, this particular mountain, this particular obstacle. I see many hands raised. I don't want you to miss this moment, church. If you have raised your hand to God, you have named your mountain and your giant to God, I want to encourage you, pluck a little courage, leave your seats now, and come to the front and build your altar to God. I know that you are sitting in a pew, sort of a pew, navigate your way. Forget about the person on your left and on your right. And when you come to the front, just open your hearts to the Holy Spirit. Come to the front and open. Why do you need to come to the front? This is to build your personal altar to God. It means that you are intentionally, deliberately naming your giant and handing your giant to God. I'm just a man of God. Only God perfectly knows your situation. Only God perfectly knows your struggles. God perfectly knows the stress, the anxieties, the fears, the worries that you have. Don't pretend giants are real, but God is equally real, if not greater. And God wants to help you. There's no shame, no shame, as we've sung the song, no fear, no control. The bottom line of our relationship with God, God wants us to grow our faith. The little faith that you have, the little faith that you have, don't ridicule it, don't underweight it. The little faith you have, just trust in God. Hold on to God tightly. Cling on to God tightly. Don't allow that mountain, don't allow that giant to derail you. If God is for us, who can be against us? Ask for His grace, ask for His mercy, ask for strength, ask for peace. Every situation is different. Every one of you, I don't know many things. I says many things is happening here right now. Just close your eyes, open your hearts to the Holy Spirit. Talk to God. And for those of you in the congregation, you know someone here, pray for them. Stretch out your hand, bless them. Invite the Holy Spirit into each of their lives, each of their situation. We've got a little time. I'll give you a minute as you commune with Him. Don't miss this moment. Chantakilian suki mianda lakasha. Oh wahi rahala mashala mashala masha. Suku mianda kudruba. Suku mianda kudruba. Our God is the miracle worker. He is the way maker. Where there seems to be no way, He will part the waves and make a way. But you got to follow His leading. You have to keep on clinging to God. We will worship God in a moment. Every word of this song is anointed. Look to the Lord.
You've just listened to a production of Cornerstone Community Church. Please note that all unauthorized reproduction, distribution, or sale of the recording is prohibited. For permission to reproduce or distribute the sermon, please write into mail@cscc.org.sg. We hope that you have been blessed.